In this week's Daf Yomi, we learned a lot of the sugyas about Borer, so I thought it was a good time to sum it all up halacha l'maaseh. So here we go. We have a couple of malachos that seem to be very similar to each other in their nature, about what is Aser and what is Mutter. So those two of those such malachos are the malacha of Borer and the malacha of Merakid. What exactly is the difference, halacha l'maaseh, what is the difference between Borer and Merakid? So just simply, there are two marked differences between the malacha of Borer and the malacha of Merakid. Number one, borer means biyad, and merakid is bikli. That's obvious difference number one. Obvious difference number two is that in the malacha of borer, what happens is that a person takes out the psolas. A person removes that which he does not want, and he leaves behind the ochel. That is the way that you're over midaraisa. When it comes to merakid, when a person uses a sieve, what's left in the sieve is the psolas, is that which he does not desire. Right, so those are the two differences between Borer and Merakid. So, let's just give a little bit of a hakdama to the Malach of Borer. Obviously, when a person, the Ramban writes in Shabbos, Taf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, which is really the sugyas of Borer as we find them in Shabbos, so the Ramban writes over there that obviously there would be no prohibition of Borer when it comes to a person who's in the middle of eating. So, for example, a person is eating a piece of fish, and it turns out that as it's in his mouth, he feels that there's some sort of bone, there's some sort of skin that he doesn't want, and he wants to remove it from his mouth. So would we assume that that would be a violation of borer? Would he be prohibited to remove it from his mouth? Obviously not. The Ramban says, because any time a person is eating, so obviously that is not called a malacha of hafrada, that's not called a malacha of borer. I'm not doing any malacha. I'm just eating naturally, and it just so happens to be that my mouth naturally separates between something which is desirable and something which is not desirable. So obviously the Ramban writes, in such a case, a person would be allowed to remove that bone or that skin from his mouth, and there would be no prohibition of borer at all, no violation. However, the Chachamim added onto that and said, not only when a person is eating with his own mouth, not only when he's chewing something and he makes some sort of separation in his mouth between that which he wants and that which he does not want, do we assume that it's not called borer. Not only that, but also that which a person does, derech, like the Rishonim say, hachanas ha-ma'achalim le'achlam le'alter. That is the lashon that the Rishonim use. Can someone pass down one of these, just so I know? No, one of these sheets, just so I know what we have. Thank you. So that's not on here. We'll get it in a minute. So the Rishonim use the lashon when a person is doing hachanas ha-ma'achalim le'achlam le'alter. Not only when a person is actually eating do we assume there's no borer, but also when a person is preparing the food, le'achlam le'alter, to eat them right away, that also would not constitute the malacha of borer. Why? Because the Rishonim point out that the Isser of borer is when a person does it derech malachto, the way I would do the malacha in any other sort of professional way. But when I'm just doing it right before, immediately prior to my achila, that would not be considered a malacha of borer. The Chazon Ish writes, if you look in number one, the Chazon Ish writes in Arachaim Simon Samach Aleph Sifkat Aleph the following. The Chazon Ish says, any time I'm preparing something for my meal, that is not called borer, elo nitfal la'achilaso. As we're saying, the same way the Ramban writes in Shabbos Daf Ayin Daled that obviously there is no prohibition of borer while I'm chewing, while I'm eating, so too when I'm sifting something out right before I choose to eat it, that would not be considered a malacha borer. And the Chazon Ish gives the following example. For example, you have a person who's eating nuts, and he has a big pile of shells together with the nuts all mixed together, and he has this big taruvis, and he doesn't know what to do because he wants to eat the nuts, he does not want to eat the shells. So the Chazon Ish writes, obviously, a person would be allowed to take out the nuts, right, and that would be mutter, because that's part of my achila. Right before I eat, I take out the food that I choose. Says the Chazon Ish, not only do we assume that a person is allowed to take the immediate one nut that he wants to eat and take it out, not only do we assume that he's allowed to take the two or three that he wants, he's even allowed to sift 50, 100 of them if he thinks he's going to eat them in the next little bit. And then the Achronim add on also, not only that, but we also would assume that even if I have a huge pile of nuts, and the reason why I want to sift all them is because we have 50 people at a table, and I happen to be the balabas, and I want to serve them all nuts, that would be mutter. Also, because in such a case, that is called hakanas hamachalim la'achlam la'alter. And any time I'm preparing food to eat them immediately, whether it's for myself or it's for someone else to eat immediately, that would not constitute a malacha of borer, because that's not called derech malachto, that is called derech achilas. So that's just as a hakdama to what the parameters are of this issue of Borer. So now we get to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch makes it very clear, as well as the Hakdama and the Mishneh Berurah, as we'll see in a minute, that there are three ways that a person has to, three tanaim that a person has to follow in order to do Borer in the proper way, which is Mutar on Shabbos. Thing number one that he has to do is, meaning the Mishneh Berurah points out, in order to make this Derech Achila, not Derech Malacha, which is the bottom line, what we have to do when we are trying to do Borer on Shabbos in the proper way, we have to make sure it's Derech Achila, not Derech Malacha. So the Mishneh Berurah tells us, based on the Shulchan Aruch and Shinya Tes, that there are three prerequisites that we need. Number one, it has to be that I take the Ochel out of the Psolas, I take the good out of the bad. That is number one. Number two, it has to be that I do it with my hands and not with a kli. That's number two, which we'll get to a little bit more later, whether a fork and a spoon is considered borer or not. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. And number three, that a person should be doing it samach la'achila. So he has to do it right before he eats. So the way that the catchphrase people use is, has to be ochel mitoch psolas miyad biyad. Right? That's generally the three ways that we refer to this. So let's read the Mishneh Berurah together. Mishneh Berurah over here finds that borer is a very complicated halacha, and therefore the Mishneh Berurah himself points out that he thinks it's important for him to outline exactly where borer applies and where it does not. So let's read the Mishneh Berurah together. Hine baruhu echad borerhu echad milamates avos malachos shel Shabbos. Says the Mishneh Berurah, obviously borer is one of the lamates malachos of Shabbos. V'chayavin alea gamkein chatos b'shogeg u'misa b'mezid kamo al shar malachos. So the Mishneh Berurah first lays out for us that obviously this is a malacha d'araisa, and one would be chayiv to bring a karban chatos if mistakenly he violates the isra of borer. And then he says, there are so many people who just don't know the rules of Borer and don't know exactly what's up and what's down and what's proper and what's not proper. Therefore he says, says the Mishneh Berurah himself, he confesses, it's very difficult, it's very complicated, therefore I'm going to set out the rules very clearly. And those rules are the following. Ein chal iser borer min haTorah ki im be'echad mishlosha ofanim she'az derech haberur he kein b'chol. Says the Mishneh Berurah, there are only three ways a person can violate the malacha of borer. Number one, in borer psolas min ha'ochel, if a person takes out the bad from the good, that would constitute a violation of the malacha of borer. Afilu borer biyado, even if I'm not doing it with a sieve, I'm doing it with my hands, but if I pick out the bad from the good, that is considered borer. As we said before, that's called derech malachto. And the bottom line in what we need by borer is we need it to be derech achilaso. Number two, says the Mishneh Berurah, imhu borer bekli shederech livvarba kagon benafa ukvara chayiv. If a person uses a sieve to sift out this food, that would be another violation of borer. Afilu bar ha'ochel min apsolas. Even if with the sieve he's only going to be left with the ochel, and we said before, the only time you violate borer is if you take the psolas out. Says the Mishneh Berurah, no, but if you're going to use a kli, then you're already violating borer because that looks like derech melachto. That's number two. And then number three, if we skip ahead a little, number three, he says, afilu imhu borer ochel min apsolas uviyado. And even if he's following the first two conditions, he does it ochel min apsolas, which is the way you're supposed to do it, and he's holding it with his hand and he's not using a sieve, says the Mishneh Berurah, will still be a problem. If daito lecha la'achar zman, that will be a prohibition of borer. Why? Because eino mutter liver kiim ba'ofen she'izar b'chol gimel ofanim. A person has to make sure he follows all three of these steps. Number one, his intent has to be to eat it right away, and we'll get to in just 2 minutes what exactly right away means. Not a clear concept at all. Number two, the Mishneh Berurah says a person has to do it with his hands and not with a kli. Number three, he has to be taking the ochel from the psolas. So those are the three conditions a person must meet in order to do this in the proper way. So when does borer apply? When
technically you're always taking the psolas. I mean, you could count it either way. If you cut off a piece of fat from a piece of meat, mm-hmm. you could either be saying you're taking away the fat, the dead from the good, or I could be taking away the good from the bad.
Right, so cutting, I'm not sure is the example, but let's say I have a big thing of jelly beans, and who likes black jelly beans? No one.
I want to take the piece of steak that I'm going to have Friday night.
Right.
Now, I want to take off that piece of fat. Now, there are two ways of looking at it.
Right. So I don't think that would be a prohibition. I think the prohibition is, well, let's say we'll get to in a few minutes different cases, but let's say I have a big jar of jelly beans and I have a bunch of black ones and I have a nice red one in the middle. So no one wants the black. Everyone wants the red, I assume, most people. So someone's going to go fishing for the red one. Correct? So that is permissible, because that's taking the ochel from the psolus. I'm taking the red one because that's what I want. I'm leaving the black ones aside because that's not what I want. But let's say, for example, I have this big jar of jelly beans, and I really, really don't want the blacks, but I want to have a whole big pile of red ones in the jar. So I decide I'm going to start throwing out all the black ones and picking those out one by one. Over there, says the Mishnah Berurah, that would not be permissible, because in such a case, we would assume that that is a malacha of borer. That's called derech malachto. That's not called derech achilasa.
Why is the time element come into play?
We're going to get to the time element in just 1 minute. So here we go. Is there, obviously, in order to have a separation, means that we need to have some sort of taruvus, correct? Obviously, in order to separate something means there has to be a mixture. So what constitutes a mixture? That's what we're going to talk about now. What in Shulchan Aruch constitutes a mixture, and what in Shulchan Aruch do we assume is not even considered a mixture that for sure would be mutter to separate because there's no mixture in the first place. So when we have two types of foods, what would we assume in such a case? Do you assume two foods are a mixture? Or do you assume no? That's pretty similar to each other, so we would not consider that borer at all. So obviously in Shulchan Aruch we say that even when it comes to two foods, we would assume that that is called a mixture, and that would not be permissible to split on Shabbos. In fact, Tosis writes in Shabbos Tafayin Dalet in the name of the Rach that the reason for that being that when I have two different foods, let's say I have a potato kugel and a lakshan kugel, and they're all one piece on top of the other, so the Tosis writes B'Shem the Rach that if I want a piece of potato kugel, so that makes it as if the other one is a psolas to me. Right? We always have to have ochel and a psolas. If I don't like lakshan kugel, it means that to me is a psolas, there is a mixture here, and I just want the other piece. So therefore, that would be considered a taruvus as well, and that would constitute borer. There is a shaila, let's say, if you have the following case, which is a big discussion in the modern day poskim. Let's say you have a soup nowadays. So we make chicken soup, and in the chicken soup we put lots of pieces of chicken as well as some vegetables, and we put whatever else we put in. So let's say you have families who can't afford to have as much as lavish Shabbos meals as we have. So all they made for Shabbos is a soup, chicken soup that has in it chicken and vegetables. And their plan is that this has been on the fire since before Shabbos, like we said last time about Shehiyah, so you do it in the proper way. You take off the pot from the fire, and now you start, what do you want to do? You want to serve the soup first, and you want to have the next course is going to be the chicken and the vegetables. Let's just think about this case for a minute. So am I allowed to take the soup and go fishing inside the soup for the vegetables and the chicken? Now we said one of the conditions that a person has to meet in order to be allowed to do borer properly on Shabbos is he has to be willing to eat it right away. So is that called right away? This relates to your question. Is that called right away? I'm only going to have the soup right away. The next course in the meal is going to be the chicken and the vegetables. So am I allowed to go and sift out the chicken and vegetables from my soup because I want to eat it for the next course of my meal? Is that still called right away or not? So Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer, the English Sefer Halachas of Shabbos. So in Hilchos Borer, Ha'ara Kuf Mem Ches, he writes, B'Shem Rav Moshe Feinstein, such a case that would be not permissible on Shabbos. Which is so surprising, because I would have said that right away means
part of the meal,
of course. I would have said that's called right away. That's the simple way to understand it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, if all I want to eat right now is the soup, and the next course of my meal is going to be the chicken and the vegetables, that would constitute an Isser of Borer, because I do not plan to eat this food right away. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote. However, Reb...
But you're taking out what you want.
Yeah, you're taking out
what you want. No, I want...
You're leaving out the soup.
No, I take the chicken and vegetables out.
Only this meal.
Right, so I have to do it right away. What? No, that would not be permissible, because I first want to sift out all the vegetables and the chicken from the soup. Put it on the side. Then I want to dish out the soup. So what do I want to have right now?
Okay.
The soup.
The soup.
Sir Rav Moshe. Oh, that's for sure mutter. That's for sure mutter. Yeah, so Rav Moshe says, surprisingly, in this case, that would not be considered miyad, and we would assume that a person is not allowed to do such a thing. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in the Sefer Ayin Mishulash, which has a lot about Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Yashiv writes over there, no, what do you mean? Like you said, that's part of my meal. That's called miyad. What's the bottom line? What's the underlying principle that we always assume determines whether something is a malacha borer or not? We said before, it depends whether it's derech malacha or it's derech achila. So over here, this is called derech achila because I'm going to eat it in just 20 minutes, in just a half an hour, in the end of my meal. That would be considered derech achilaso, and therefore that would be permissible, even though I plan to first eat the soup, and then I plan to have this for my next course. I spoke to my father about this. He said that when he was in Rav Soloveitchik's year and they learned Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik thought, based on a whole bunch of Makoros, that the definition of Miyad when it comes to Borer, that one of the preconditions we need is that it has to be, that my intention is to eat it right away, that Rav Soloveitchik felt that was 30 minutes. He thought Miyad means 30 minutes. Now, my father did point out that, okay, that makes sense for a normal house, but let's say we're in a hotel, for example, and they need to do some Borer, let's say they need to do this soup, right? They plan to have the soup, and then they're going to have the next course, the chicken and the vegetables. Let's imagine, in a hotel. So they're going to have to go and sift out. They have a huge pot of soup, which is the size of this room, whatever. They have a big vat of soup, and they're going to sift everything out. Knew it's going to take them 3 hours to do it. What are you going to say? They only have a half an hour? That can't be. So obviously we have to be reasonable, which Rabbi Yashiv does write also. My father felt that you have to be reasonable, that in a person's normal privacy of his home, where a meal moves along and things go in a certain order, so then you could say a half an hour is the shear of being considered miyad. When we're dealing with a hotel where you have to feed hundreds and hundreds of guests, and all you're going to have is a half an hour of a time span to prepare food and do a malacha of borer, and less than that, and more than that we would consider a malacha, that is not really a reasonable thing to assume.
Wouldn't you have anywhere that had to, if you're going to be taking out the vegetables and the chicken, you're going to be taking out soup with it. It's impossible. It's embedded together.
Very good. So that leads us straight into my next point, which is the following. Generally, the malacha of borer really should have been if I'm taking it out with my hands. So Rav Moshe writes, now what would be the halacha? The Mishnah Berurah said before, one of the preconditions to have borer done properly is if you're doing it with your hands and not the kli. So what, you're going to stick your hands into the soup and take out the vegetable and the chicken? No one's going to do that. Even if the soup is not boiling hot, no one's going to stick their hands in. It's not comfortable for us. We would never do such a thing. So Rav Moshe writes an interesting chiddush in Arachayim Chelak Aleph Siman Kuf Chav Dalid. He says that if a person uses a spoon or he uses a fork only because he doesn't want his hands to get dirty when he does the malacha, that's considered like yado arichta. That's not considered like using a kli. That's still called derech achilaso. So Rav Moshe writes, and your question was, if a person is using this example that we gave, I have soup and I just want to take out the chicken and the vegetables from the soup to serve afterward, Rav Moshe writes, obviously I wouldn't be mechuyev to stick my hands in, I would be allowed to use a spoon. Reason number one is because that's called yado arichta. Reason number two is, like you said, that the Mishnah Berurah points out in the Bir Halacha in Shin Yud Tes that it would seem that if a person uses a spoon to dish out something that he's trying to separate, obviously he will take some of the soup with him. The Chazon Ish writes that even if some soup is going to come up with a spoon, still he considers that borer, because obviously the main thing that's on my spoon is that which I'm trying to take out. But we generally assume, I think, like the Mishnah Berurah says, that in such a case we would consider that to be okay, and we have the two things to be samech on. Number one, like Ramosha said, that if the only reason I'm not sticking my hand in is because my hand will get all dirty, and I don't want my hand getting all dirty, so Ramosha says that's like yado arichta. Reason number two, like you said, is we assume, like the Mishnah Berurah, that obviously when I use a spoon, I'll probably be taking up some of the food as well. Now, what's the din when I have similar types of foods? We just established that there is a malacha of borer even when it comes to two food items. What's the din when it comes to the same type of food, just it has different tastes? So the Rishonim and Achronim all write that would also constitute borer. So for example, I have cooked chicken, roast chicken, and barbecue chicken all on a platter. So would I assume that that would be considered a malacha of borer? Yes. The poskim all say yes. What would be the din if I have chicken and turkey? That would also be the same, because that's two different medium, they had two different tastes, and I would consider that to be like ochel emsoles, because obviously I'm taking this platter and I only want one type, so for me to move everything else away just to get to the piece that I want would be considered a malacha of borer. Unless it's done, obviously, with the three preconditions that we started with. The pre-megadim has a suffix, and he says, let's say you have tops and bottoms of chickens. He doesn't give this example, but let's say we have the same min, and they taste pretty much the same. But there are certain people, I personally don't care too much, but let's say there are some people who really are bothered. They don't want to eat bottoms, or they don't want to eat tops. Whatever it is, they don't like either one. But generally, the woman is going to serve on the platter, or whoever's serving the house, the man, is going to serve on the platter, obviously, tops and bottoms together, right? Generally, we wouldn't split them on two different trays. So you have someone who's serving tops and bottoms. So would we consider that to be two different meaning? Primogodim says, well, generally, I would say they have the same taste, pretty much. Okay, it tastes a little different. This is a little drier. This is a little more moist. But generally, they're pretty much the same taste. The Prima Gadim says he thinks it's okay. However, the Prima Gadim points out, let's say I'm the type of person that hates eating tops or hates eating bottoms, so he says I'm an istinus. So therefore, for me, that is considered like there's a psolas and an ochel, and for me, I would have to be careful. When I spoke that over with my father, he was very surprised by that psak of the Prima Gadim, and he said, no, if all we care about by borer is whether this is derech malacha or derech achila, so when the Chazal were figuring out if such an activity is considered a malacha or it's considered achila, so they figured out based on the general consensus of what people do. So most people couldn't care less if it's a top or a bottom. Right? I mean, okay, they might choose one of the two, but most people aren't so hung up that if they give them a top, they're never going to eat it, or if all there was to eat was a bottom, they wouldn't eat it. Most people aren't like that. So my father thought that therefore the classical definition of borer is it derech achila or is it derech malacha? Bottom line over here is if most people in the world wouldn't care between the chicken which is a top or the chicken which is a bottom, so we can generally assume that is not called a maisa brera. That's called a maisa achila. I'm doing it for my eating purposes. A further shaila is raised by the Achronim. What's the din when I have big pieces of chicken and small pieces of chicken? So assume, in our house everyone eats bottoms, or in our house everyone eats tops. Okay, so we're very machmer, we only serve tops, we only serve bottoms, whatever it is. Now I have some bigger bottoms, or I have some smaller bottoms. So is that considered borer? I'm the big guy in the house, and I want to have a nice big fat piece of chicken. So is that considered borer for me? The Rama says, obviously not. Why? Because how can we consider that borer in such a case if we know that really people wouldn't care that much? Like we're saying, people wouldn't care that much between big pieces and smaller pieces, so that would be no violation of borer. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that in such a case you can even use a kli to do it because there is no taruvus here at all, there is no mixture, and everything would be permissible.
One second.
The Taz and the Chayyadim disagree and say, like you're saying, this is like tuminim. What do you mean? There's big pieces and small pieces. It's just like turkey and chicken. It's just like barbecue and roast. So therefore they disagree. But the Mishnah Berurah points out over here that the Das Rav HaPoskim is the Hakel. And he says that the Magen Avraham, Pri Chadosh, Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the Mishnah Berurah himself are all makel and assume, not like the Taz, that if a person has a choice between big pieces and small pieces, that's not really called a taruvus. And the answer to your question is because people are not so makbid between the big piece and the small piece. If let's say I was eating somewhere and generally I'm used to having large portions, but all they bring to the table are small ones, no, I would eat it. I would eat it.
Two small pieces.
Right, exactly. You can eat two small pieces and have the same amount. So that's what he points out. However, the Mishnah Berurah does make one distinction, and that is the following. If you're right, when you have kelim gedolim, when you have big pieces of chicken and small pieces of chicken, we assume l'das rov ha'achronim that that's not considered a malacha borer. However, let's say I have big plates and small plates. Let's say I have two different sized kelim. So what would you say then? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if I have big plates and small plates, or I have big forks and small forks, and each one has a separate hishtamshus, each one has a separate purpose for what its use is, then the Mishnah Berurah says that's already a different story. Between big pieces of chicken and small pieces of chicken, nusu eat two pieces. That's not called a real ochel emsolus. They're both the same. However, he says, when I have big plates and small plates, that's not so simple. Now, where does this ever come up? It comes up in the following case. When I wash the dishes Friday night, and now I have them all in the drying rack, and I want to take all of my cutlery from the drying rack and put it away into the drawer and put each one into its compartment. So I want to have the big forks in this one, the little forks in that one. So I would say, new big forks and little forks are just like big pieces of chicken and small ones. No, says the Mishnah Berurah, since we're dealing with kelim, and each one has a separate hishtamshus, we use the smaller ones for certain things, we use the bigger ones for other things, the Mishnah Berurah points out that in such a case, we would assume that that would constitute a malacha of borer, and a person has to be careful on Shabbos not to take out all of the cutlery from the drying rack and put it away into different compartments. The poskim do point out that if, let's say, I put all my kelim on the drying rack, and now there's, let's say, the husband is cleaning the dishes and the wife is sitting there with a towel and drying one by one, let's say. So I'm working faster than she is, let's say. So I'm putting all of them in the drying rack, and she's taking one by one and drying it and putting it in piles. So is that permissible or not? So the poskim say, obviously that's okay, because if she's picking them up anyway and drying one at a time, she's allowed to put it down in order. She's allowed to put them down in a nice, neat fashion. However, the problem is only raised when you have all of them that are dry already, and now I'm just coming to separate them and put them aside in different types of compartments. then we would assume that that would not be permissible on Shabbos. Yeah.
If you take, no, if you have 15 utensils in your hand, you can just put it wherever it goes.
Right.
Not if you select out small forks and
right.
the larger ones, that you can do.
Right.
But as you're putting it back, you'll have to put each one in some place.
Right. As long as they weren't all in the drying rack, and now I'm taking them out just to separate.
I'm telling you, if you have it right. all in your hand, then you can put it in
right.
wherever it's
so
let's
see, drawing right. four of them. Go back to what you really you're drawing it. You're drawing four of them. You give an example of drawing one at a time.
Right.
If you're drawing four of them, can yeah, you yeah. do them and put them in separate piles as you're drawing four of them?
Well, you only put one down at a time,
right.
correct?
So you, either way,
you can
one.
Put it in.
Yeah.
It's
you can say that about anything. Even when you take it out of a, you take something out of a pile of 15.
No, but over here, you didn't so specifically separate it. It's separated already because you're drying it in your hand. So you didn't pick it up to do a ma'aser b'ir. You picked it up to dry it. Mm-hmm. Now you're allowed to put it down anywhere. Yeah.
Back to before, where you have the two different meats. Let's say you have a platter of cold cuts and Shabbos lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have turkey, you have salami, you have corn beef, and you want something that's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So what you tell me, you can't pull away whatever you don't want and just take that? Is that what you just said before?
You have to be careful to do it that you just pick up the one that you want.
You can't get to the one, you can't
right.
get to the tongue underneath.
You have to.
Because you have the salami and the turkey.
You have to wait for someone else to eat first.
Okay. Eat your way.
How's that? Yeah. Okay, so now we get to another interesting chiddush, which is the following. I was very surprised when I saw this in Shulchan Aruch this week, and I made sure to ask a couple of Mori Haro to make sure I wasn't making a mistake. If I asked anyone in this room, is it mutter to take my Brita filter and put it under water on Shabbos, what would you say? Those who say it's usur, raise your hand.
Put it under water?
No, a Brita filter. To use a Brita filter on Shabbos. What? All those who think it's usur, raise your hands? No, not attach it. I have the Brita filter.
It's attached.
It's a pitcher. It's a pitcher of water, right? And I open up the top of the pitcher. And I pour water
into filter.
Right, I pour water from my sink into this pitcher
right.
to filter it. Is that mutter or aser? Absolutely mutter. Mufurish and Shulchan Aruch. I was very surprised because everyone thinks this is aser and it's mamish, it's heter gummer. So let's see. In Shulchan Aruch it says the following. In number four, I'm sorry, let's do number three. The Gemara says, it really comes from the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lama Tesam and Beis. Says the Gemara, Misanane Mesayayin Besudarim. If I'm drinking wine, and the wine, or let's say I'm drinking orange juice for argument's sake, and it has pulp in it, and I'm not interested in the pulp. Says the Gemara, I'm allowed to take a handkerchief and drink my cup of orange juice with the handkerchief on top, that all the pulp will stay underneath. Rashi explains over there, Mipnei Hakmachem. The reason I'm doing this is because I don't want the pulp, or I don't want the whatever there is in the wine, the sediments, coming into my drink. Says Rashi, since most people don't care about how much, you know, the little drop of pulp or the little drop of sediments that's in the bottom of the wine, therefore this would be permissible.
With the meat here, if he wants to get to the bottom of the tarn, to the tarn which is in the bottom, eating the chicken and the whatever they have, what is that? So what's the problem? Because Rav Ne'adam, the reason he said because Rav Ne'adam afilu b'liyasilo.
Right.
Same thing here.
So what are you going to say? Most people like turkey and chicken. Most people like...
Yeah, he also likes it, but today...
He's not interested.
He will woke up in a good mood, you know.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I have to think about it. I don't know. So over here, Rashi says beferish like that.
Because he's kind of Shabbos.
Yeah.
He wants to know what he
we'll figure out by then. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, in Simen Shin Yud Tes Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way and says, Yayin O Mayim Shehem Tzlulim. If I have water or wine, which is pretty much clean, mutter l'sananam b'mishmeres. If I happen to be the type of person that still thinks I want to use a Brita filter, even though New York City water is pretty clean, we'll get to New York City water with the bugs in a second, but New York City water before the bug issue, I thought it was pretty clean, but I happen to be the type of guy that likes using Brita filters. Says in Shulchan Aruch, it's totally mutter. Says the Rama, v'afal pi sheyesh mokis mendakin, no, even though after you put 10 rounds of Brita of water through the Brita filter, I will find dirt in there, right? It is filtering something out. Still, that's okay. Since most people would be fine drinking it without it, that would be okay. However, okay, that's a side issue. Says the Bir Halacha, quoting the Prima Gadim, that what if a person is an absolute mufunuk, he's an istinus, he never ever takes water from the tap. Similar to the case we had before. You're the type of person that will never open the sink and take a drink of water. You absolutely refuse, even if you're in someone's house and they don't have a filter, you would rather drink someone else. You drink soda, right? So what if you're that type of person, says the Prima Gadim, quoted in the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, then for you, that would be considered Ochel HaMsolas. So my father argued over here as well. The same way we said before, that we don't base it, we don't look at every single person and figure out what he likes and what he doesn't like. We look at the general consensus. Do most people enjoy this water the way it is, or do most people not? If most people do, then that's not called Derech Malacha. That's called Derech Achila. Just because you happen to be the strange person that has this crazy hang-up that you'll never drink water without a filter, so that is your own problem, and that would not be considered a Malacha Bar on Shabbos. That would be absolutely mutter, even for the Istanis. What? What was that?
It's a different category.
Category, right.
Right.
What do you mean, with regard to?
Regard to this question.
The back
of the... Yeah, of
course. Talking about that turkey.
Right, okay, well, I have to think about that. I have to think about that case.
The case of the grid of water. You're not taking the psoas out of the water. You're pouring it through, and it's happening in the mela. I mean, the water's going through, and it's unsustained. You're not taking it out.
No, but that's with kli. I'm pouring it through a kli.
That's the whole idea.
That's the whole point.
Taking the kli and
it's like if I have a sieve and I pour, I'm separating it through another utensil. Okay, so, yeah. So 1 second. So now we get, that's the $1 million question. So what's the story? We all know that there was a big tumult in for Rockaway also. It's a problem, right? The bugs in the water? So Rockaway is New York water. So there was a big issue with the New York City water. What do we do? Because we know they have copepods in it, and many thought that that should be an issue of toloim, that a person is not allowed to drink the water without having a special filter installed in his sink. So what do we do about that? Is that considered borer on Shabbos or not? What's the crux of the issue? Crux of the issue is as follows. Being that every normal person in the world would drink the water, the only crazy people who are not drinking the water are the Jews, because al pi halacha it's asur to drink. So when you're only separating because you're trying to fulfill a halachic requirement to separate, is that called a separation? Meaning to say, back up, is that called a mixture in the first place? If most normal people would drink the water the way it is, we happen not to drink it only because there are halachic bugs in here that no one else in the world recognizes and no one else in the world cares about. So is that considered a taruvus? Is that considered like ochel psolas just because it's a halachic psolas? Does that also constitute a psolas or not? So that is the question.
Well, sure, why not? People who have filters to keep the water clean.
Sure.
No, no, no. These are two different filters. Right. Some people have filters on their sinks because there is dirt in the water. These filters that we have are because we're trying to, they're much thinner filters. We're trying to eliminate these copepods, which are tiny. They're literally tiny. They're not microscopic, because Rav Moshe writes that anything that's microscopic, we don't recognize at all in halacha. That's where Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Why is a person allowed to drink vinegar? I had vinegar become vinegar. It used to be wine, and now microorganisms came into the wine and spoiled the wine. So now, Rav Moshe says, there were those who wanted to say, maybe we should say vinegar is usher because vinegar has microscopic bugs in it. Says Rav Moshe, that's apikursus, he writes, because the pasuk says by another, yain b'shecher al teish, which means only another is not allowed to drink it, but everybody else is allowed to. So Rav Moshe says, what's the heter? Why is it allowed? Says Rav Moshe, because that's microscopic. We don't recognize microscopic items. We consider ourselves to be able to see that which is usher and to see that which is mutter. Anything we cannot see is not considered iser at all. That's considered air. That's what Rav Moshe writes. So over here also in the water, it's not that they're microscopic, it's that the bugs are just very small and they're hard to see unless you're actually looking for them. So the question is, are we allowed to install these filters on our sinks on Shabbos? I'm sorry, install them whenever, and then turn on the water on Shabbos. Is that permissible or not? So my father had a couple of studim why this should be permissible. Number one, Tzad Lahakal number one is, it's a big machlokes haposkim mizmanaseh whether or not this is usher in the first place. So, we have one sniff lahakel that there are those who hold its mutter, there are those who hold its asr. And many of us are machmir because it's a suffix on a deraisa, but many are mekel. So that's number one, sniff lahakel is it's not so clear that it's asr in the first place. Sniff number two is that the Chai Adam writes in the Nishmas Adam a very fascinating chiddush, and that is the following, that whenever I have a separation that I'm only doing because the halacha mandates me to separate it, that is not called a taruvus of ochel amsolus. And I'll give The Maram Shik disagrees. Maram Shik says, no, bottom line, I want it to be separated. But the Chai Adam writes in Nishmas Adam that would be permissible. I'll just give one very fascinating example where we find the same idea, and that is in Menachas Tav Chaf Aleph, the Gemara says, I'll call Karban Chatakriv Melech. Person has to make sure he puts salt on every single karban that is offered on top of the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the Mizbeach. So says the Gemara, we darshan from the Pasuk, I'll call Karban Chatakriv. So the Gemara says, Takriv Afilu B'Shabbos. Meaning, I'm allowed to salt my karbanos even on Shabbos. Frak the Rashba, Rabbi Kiva Eger, all the Rishonim, all the Achronim, everyone asked the Shalom Eshev, and the Mishnah Melech, and the Magid Mishnah, everyone asked this Kasha, why do we need Xeris HaKasav to tell me I'm allowed to salt the animal on Shabbos? Why should it be Usser? What's wrong with pouring salt on an animal?
Preserving.
What? Not preserving, I'm putting it straight on the Mizbeach. So what's wrong? Why can't I pour salt on the animal? Why do I need a Pasuk to come and tell me when I'm makir v'karban, I should go and pour salt even though it's Shabbos? What's the Chiddush? So the Achronim give all sorts of ideas. The Stechemet points out there's a very fascinating Ran about this, that he says Maliach is Karasach, so it's Yerob Ram Bishul. We won't get into that now, big Chiddush. But the Teretz that the Shalom Eshev gives is no. That's called Borer. Because when I pour in the salt, I'm separating the blood from the meat. That's the point of putting salt on it, right? So since I'm separating the blood from the meat, that would constitute a Malacha of Borer. Therefore, I would have thought that it's Usser to pour salt on the meat. Kamashval on the Pasuk, we have Xeris HaKasav that says, you're allowed to put salt on the meat even on Shabbos. Ask the other Achronim, the Maharshag, ask Akasha, he says, what do you mean? This is only halachic borer. Most people in the world would eat the piece of meat even with the blood inside of it. The only reason we're pouring salt on is because the halacha mandates us to pour salt on. But he says, that's not called borer. We don't consider it borer when a person is only doing it to fulfill a halachic requirement. That's not called ochel emsolas. As far as the world is concerned, we would consider this to be one min, because the rest of the world would eat it the way it is. So therefore, the Maharshag argues on this psak of the Shalom Eshev, and he says, I happen to disagree with you, and I think any time we are doing a malacha solely for the purpose of fulfilling a halachic requirement, that is not called a ochel emsolas, and that would be absolutely permissible.
The salt on the blood would only be if you salt it, and then you'd wash it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have a problem with getting rid of blood. But if you're salting it and then burning it together with the salt, where's the problem?
Well, then you salt it first and then you throw it on the mizbeach. So when you salt it, the blood comes out.
With the salt. When you wash it off the way we do when you salt meat, you wash it off, then you're so it comes out. Doing butter, yeah.
But I thought naturally it still oozes out,
but
right?
But it's there. It's part of the...
No, but it comes out, doesn't it? You're separating.
Who cares what it does? It's not any different than you
put sugar. Who cares? You see a puddle of blood afterward. It is separated.
But it stays on the animal. It's there.
I have a nice piece of steak from a carbon. I put it with the salt, but in the 3 minutes that it's in between when I salt it.
It leaches into the salt, but who cares?
Because it's being separated.
You're not separating anything. You're not burying it.
I think it's room to argue, possibly. So that's Heter number two. And Heter number three is the Menchas Yitzchak writes that since I haven't Misukana Sham Tamid, the Menchas Yitzchak writes that since this filter is installed to be used all the time, so I don't consider this a Malacha Borer on Shabbos. Why? Because since I would use this filter when I'm washing my hands in the morning, and I also use the filter when I'm washing the dishes, and I use the filter for all different purposes, even when I don't want the bug to get out, even when I don't care about the bugs, therefore, he says this is the natural way, and that's not called derech malacha. That is called derech achila, and that would be permissible.
So the sitting in your sink is also
okay. What?
The sink, the drink.
That's what he's talking about. He says the one that is mesukana sham tamid, something that is there permanently, and you never take it out, and it doesn't make a difference what I'm doing in the sink. I still leave it there. So the Menchas Yitzchak has a tzad that he thinks that should be a tzad lahakel, and that should be permissible as is. For the last couple of minutes, I just want to get into a very important bir halacha. When it comes to this whole malacha of borer, it's very important to ask this bir halacha's question. If we look at number 7, the bir halacha points out from the Yeshuas Yaakov. Why should we ever say that the malacha of borer is asur? Ask the Yeshuas Yaakov as follows. Shouldn't we assume we have a concept of a malacha she'ein sricha legufa? We have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether malacha she'ein sricha legufa is mutter on Shabbos or asur. What does it mean, a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa? Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, but the simple understanding of malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is, Rashi says the following. Rachmana Litzlan, a person dies in a house on Shabbos. So Rashi says, I don't want the mace to smell at my whole house, right? So I move the mace out into the street. That's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Why? I'm not moving the mace out because I want him in the street. I'm only moving the mace out because I don't want a problem in my house. That's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. I didn't do the malacha for the purpose of the mace itself. I did it for an exterior purpose. So over here, it says that... Snichale, right?
He's happy to do that because now it's not going to smell in the house.
Right, but that's ain't tzricha legufa.
But it is, because he's nichale.
He's nichale, but the malacha is...
He's
the
happy
malacha.
To get
it out. It is, but defining the malacha... Right.
Ah, would be the same.
What do you mean? He would be more than happy if they came in and sprayed it up that it wouldn't smell. Right? The only reason he's doing the malacha of being metaltal it outside is because he has no other choice. He doesn't want that the house should smell up. So that's what we call a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So ask the Yeshua Yaakov, and many Rishonim ask the same question. What's the story with Borer? What happens over here? What do? I take out the psolas, right? The way of being over on the malacha Borer deraisa is to take out the black jelly beans and throw them in the garbage. Right? That's the malacha Borer. Ask the Yeshua Yaakov, do you want those black jelly beans? No, I'm throwing them in the garbage. So the only reason I'm separating is because it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. I'm separating it because I want the red ones. I'm not separating it. I'm not doing the maisa of separation for the black ones. Ask the Yeshua Yaakov, quoted in the Bir Halacha, that's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And if it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, don't we know that we paskin like Reb Shimon? Malacha shein tzricha legufa on Shabbos is putter. It's mutter.
Borer is defined as such.
Right.
Borer is defined as that malacha.
Very good. So this is what we're getting to. So the...
Putter aval asr.
What?
Putter aval asr, Reb Shimon.
Putter aval asr, right, okay.
You can do it.
So one second. So it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And the question is, why do we consider that a malacha? So it says, and if you look on the last line in number 7, in the bold, it says, Zeu malacha hatzricha leguf ha'ochel dimashvi lei ochel gamer. Exactly like you said. The reason we would still consider this a malacha hatzricha legufa, meaning the Baal Amar in Shabbos answers, you're right, there's an exception to the rule. Every other malacha has to be tzricha legufa, Bor is an exception to the rule. Now, why is Bor an exception to the rule? Says the Yeshua Yaakov, quoted in the Bir Halacha, the reason for that is because the definition, the characteristic of Bor is being misakin ochel. So if the way to do it is by throwing out the black ones, that's called being misakin ochel. So therefore he says, we have to look at the overall malacha and figure out, is this called tzricha legufa or not? And he says, in this case, we would consider that a malacha hatzricha legufa because the malacha is not defined as the maisa hafrada, as the separating. If that's all it was, then I would say, this is mutter because the malacha shein tzricha legufa. No, the malacha, the defining characteristic of the malacha was the food changed for the better or not? If it was, that's a malacha. If not, then it's not. So let's get into a very parallel, an exact parallelism that we find with regard to the malacha of gozes. We find the malacha of gozes, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in number 8, in Simon Shin Mem Sif Aleph, Aser Lito Sara Otsi Parnav, person is not allowed to shave his head, or pull out hairs from his head, or to cut his fingernails, Bein Biyad Bein Mekli, whether he bites his nails, or he picks them off with his hands, or he uses a nail clipper on Shabbos, Bein La'atzim Bein La'acher, you're not allowed to do it for yourself, not for anyone else, Mechayiv Al Shtei Saros, he says, when am I going to be chayiv? It's only if I pick out two hairs, not one. Okay. Okay. When we have white hair, we're not allowed to pick out the white hairs. Fine. Says the Bir Halacha as follows. I know I'm making it sound like it's not going to happen. It happens to everyone. One day I too will get there, hopefully. So the Bir Halacha writes in number 9. We'll see. Ask the Bir Halacha, why is that a malacha deraisa on Shabbos? Why is that a malacha deraisa? The same kasha. When I cut my nails, what's the malacha? Taking the nail clipper and detaching the long nails from my fingers, right? Do I want these nails?
No.
I don't want the nails. That's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Ask the Bir Halacha, why am I chayev? The same kasha we just had by Borer, why am I chayev on Borer if I don't want the black jelly beans? Why am I chayev on gozes if I don't want the fingernails? I don't want the hair that I pull out. Good kasha, same kasha. So says the Magen Avraham, surprisingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. Answer is, the only time it's usher is b'shetzarach l'saron. Only time it's not permissible for me to cut my nails on Shabbos or to pull hairs out is when I actually want to keep the hair or I want to keep the fingernails. When does that happen? Never. So it would seem that this should be mutter. However, you pointed out, it's patar av al asr. So it's still... right? It's still not permissible midrabbanan, but it's not punishable. Okay, so you'll say, what's the difference? If it's asr midrabbanan anyway, what's the difference? The difference is as follows. Let's look at the following few cases. The Shach writes in the Nekudas HaKesef in Yerodeya Simen Kuf Tzadiches. He writes as follows. We have a halacha that a woman, before she goes to the mikveh, is supposed to cut her fingernails. Says the Shach, what happens if you have a woman who has to go to the mikveh Friday night, and she shows up to the mikveh, and she realizes she forgot to cut her nails on Friday afternoon. So what is she supposed to do?
Get a guy.
Get a guy. Why couldn't she get a guy? Why is it permissible?
What's the
Rabbanan? What's the Rabbanan? Oh, so says the Shach, based on this Magen Avraham, the Shach says the following. It's a shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. Because number one, Amir Lenachri is only an Issa Derabbanan. Number two, we just finished saying that cutting my fingernails, since I don't want the fingernails and I don't want the hair, so that's a Melacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa, says the Shach, that's considered a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah in order for her to go to the mikvah. That is permissible. That's what the Shach says. Go do that on Shabbos. And that's what the Magen Avraham writes as well in the beginning of Simen Shin Mem. If you look in the Taz there in Yerodeya Kuf Tzadiches, he jumps on the Shach. He says, what do you mean? What are you talking about? When can you say that it's as if I'm not involved and the guy is doing everything? That's when I ask a guy to go do something else. But when the guy is coming to my body, cutting my fingernails, and I have to open my fingers like this, that's Mesayeh Yesh Bal Mamish. What do you mean? I have an active participation in his cutting of my fingernails. So you can't say that we would only consider that a Amir Lenachri. I'm actively involved. I'm being over the Malacha myself. And we wouldn't allow a person to be over a Malacha de Rabbanan for a mitzvah. It's only the combination of a shvus to shvus, a double derabbanan, that's when it's mutter. So the Taz says he doesn't like this psak of the Shach. We find a similar machlokas, the Ramah and the Taz. If let's say a person, it's an Arachayim Simen Shin Chav Ches, the Ramah writes, a person who has a big toothache, and he just can't function normally. So the Ramah tells us, if he's mitzdar, and he's really in terrible pain, and it's a chol shem sakana, so he's allowed to go to a non-Jew and tell him to extract his tooth for him. So the Mishnah Berurah there quotes the Taz. What do you mean? I'm having an active participation in this malacha because I'm opening my mouth. So he says that's not the same as me going and asking the guy to move my car because a tree's going to fall on it. That's different. So, I mean, we find another example by Yosef Atzadik. The Pesukim tell us, Vayigalech Vayichalef Simlosa. Right? So it says that he went and he shaved before he was called into Paro. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud, that when was he called into Paro?
Rosh Hashanah.
On Rosh Hashanah. So all the Mefarshim ask, how was he allowed to shave? It was Rosh Hashanah, it's Yantiv, also to shave. So some give the Torah, it's Pikuach Nefesh. If you show up to the king without shaving, he's going to kill you. Okay, it's the obvious answer. My father likes to say the answer that the Abbas who kept the Kala Torah Kula before the Torah was given, that was a Midas Chassidus. Mm-hmm. They weren't Mechuyiv to keep it. They kept it because they were big Tzadikim, so Midas Chassidus. So my father likes to say, you don't have a right to keep a Midas Chassidus when you're going to violate a real din. So over here, you have a real mitzvah of Kavanah Melech. You have a chiv to actually honor the king. And you want to go keep your chumrah, and by whereby you're going to be mevatel a mitzvah, that's not permissible, which has a lot of room to think about in many different cases. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes a similar thing. A husband's going to say, I don't hold by the Erev. Yeah, so what are you going to do? Whereby not holding by the Erev means your wife's going to have to schlep the three kids on a boiling hot summer day because you want to go take a walk with her. No. Is it right to impose your midas chasidus in a case where you're going to be over on something else? So a person always has to weigh out every chumer and kula, whether it's actually a good cheshbon that he's making to keep the chumer or not. But the Chassam Sofer answers the kasha, and he says as follows. The Chassam Sofer says, it was a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, because the whole cutting of the fingernails in the first place is only derabbanan. And the whole asking a nachri to do it for you is only derabbanan. So b'makom mitzvah, to go visit the king on Rosh Hashanah, that's mutter. Shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is mutter. Just like the Shach said by cutting a woman's fingernails, ayidei akum, if she forgets to cut them before the tefillah. And the Chassam Sofer points out, this would be Tali in the Machlokas, the Shach and the Taz, whether in fact a person is allowed to do that. When we had our first child, it was on Shabbos Chanukah, 2 years ago, and we had a baby Friday night, and there was not 1 ounce of malacha that was done, because we came in Friday afternoon, and everything was, all the malacha was done before. So then, right after you have the baby, they come to you with a, I don't know, what do you call that? To do the fingerprinting. I don't know what you call it. So they come to you, I guess, with dye or ink, whatever it is, and they tell you to stick your finger in and do an imprint. So is that mutter on Shabbos to do a fingerprinting? So the Ragut Shavu writes B'Shem the Rambam. He quotes a Rambam that the Rambam says, not only am I chayiv on Shabbos for writing Shtei Osios, I'm also chayiv on Shabbos for something called Roshem. If I make some very nice picture or some very nice drawing that looks like something normal, I don't just draw a line here, a line there. I make something nice, that's called roshem, and I'm still going to be chayiv midiraisa on Shabbos. So the Ragachover pointed out that in the streets in Europe, the policeman used to stop different people randomly and make them do finger druk, he calls it, fingerprinting. So the Ragachover says, according to the Rambam, that's called roshem, because I'm making a nice fingerprint of my finger. So that would be a malacha deraisa. So here we were, right after we had the baby, we were so proud that we didn't do any chilul Shabbos. And then I see them come in with the things. So I told my wife, don't do it. That's a malacha deraisa. Let them do it for you. Right? They're going to make you do it, right? So make pretend you didn't hear them, and then they'll take your finger and do it for you. So I thought that was a good aid. So I told her, don't, when they came with that thing, I said, don't do it. Let them do it for you, because according to the Rambam, that's a malacha deraisa. So then the nurse realized that she wasn't doing it, so the nurse thought she just didn't realize, and the nurse took her finger and did it for it. And I'm wondering, oh, maybe according to the Taz, if it's a malacha on your body, you're still going to be over. So I don't know if I was marviach anything. But according to the way we paskin, the Shach and the Magen Avraham say a woman who needs to cut her fingernails on Friday night is allowed to do so. So that's the same over here. A woman who needs to have her fingerprint taken because she has no option here. What? A guy, yeah. So the guy's nurse came and did it for her.
Oh, to the mikvah.
Yeah. A guy is allowed to do it because that's a shvus to shvus malka mitzvah.
A person allowed to do what is
she? I mean, it's better to get a guy. Yeah, it's better to get a guy. I mean, my father points out now, you know, they're having...
This is midrabanan, correct?
Because malach shein tzrich legufa. That's what Tosfos says.
So with shinui...
Yeah, it's better to have a guy. It's better to have a guy. So my father has been pointing out recently, you know, we're making such a big to-do about mitzitza bepeh, which is not so clear where the whole thing came from anyway. It's not a halacha moshe misinai. And over here we have a chashash malach daraisa. How come no one ever went on a class act against all the hospitals that they make us do fingerprinting on Shabbos? Something to think about. Anyway.
What's a
Masara? And this is a Din Daraisa. Okay. No big deal. Whatever. Interesting point. Anyway, so all this is based on the assumption that cutting of the fingernails and cutting of the hair is only Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. However, the Ramban in the Mechamos in Shabbos Daf Kuvav points out, no, when you cut your fingernails or you pull out hairs, that's not a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. That's Tzricha L'Gufa. I want my body to look better. That's the exact parallelism to Borer. Why? Because when it came to Borer again, the Mishabura asked this question, why is Borer Asar at all? Shouldn't we say Borer is a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? The answer was, because the bottom line is, my food is becoming better than it was. So the same applies by the Gozes, when I cut my fingernails. The bottom line is that my body looks nicer than it was before I cut them. So therefore, the Ramban writes, he disagrees with the whole premise, and he assumes that if a person cuts his fingernails on Shabbos, that is called Malacha HaTzricha L'Gufa, even if he's going to throw the nails in the garbage, because he wants his body to look better. He wants his hair to look nicer, and that would be a Malacha Midyaraisa. So this is something to keep in mind. In fact, the Yerushalmi, just one more thing, the Yerushalmi has an afkamina that we should assume would play out in such a case in Borer. For example, the Yerushalmi gives us a case when you have a huge pile. The Yerushalmi says a huge pile of psolas and ochal together, a whole big mixture. The Yerushalmi says that a person is sitting there all day long throwing out psolas, throwing out. So, and then after 10 hours of doing that, he still has a huge mixture, and he doesn't get anywhere. So am I over or not? So Yerushalmi says you're putter. So why are you putter? If you learn that the simple understanding of the malacha borer is just to separate two things, so I was sitting here all day long and separating, but no. If you learn like the Ramban, that the malacha borer is to accomplish something, to make it that now my food is better than when it started, so you can't assume over here that a person violated borer, because it's still the same big pile of junk that it was before I began doing that malacha. The Achronim point out, why is the Yerushalmi not paskin the halacha? So that's a whole discussion.
Is it putter or butter?
The Yerushalmi has the lashon putter. So you're saying it should be putter of a lasser.
I don't know.
Right. I don't know. So it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So it's hard to know. Right. The Achronim say the only reason it's not quoted is because, bottom line, I'm still making it a little better because now my work is going to be a little less. Okay. So, but in principle, the Yerushalmi is telling us, and all the Achronim agree with that, that if a person does not make the food any better than it was, that would not constitute a malacha borer, because that's what we look at. And that's also what we look at when it comes to gozes. Is my body being more beautified than it was before I cut my nails or not? Yeah.
In this case where you took the pastrami and everything else, you left with the tongue, you haven't improved anything. What have you done? You haven't improved a thing by getting to the tongue.
What do you mean? I would have much. I think the answer to that is that I would have much more rather have a whole plate of tongue. Right. What do I need the tircha for, making the whole thing a mess?
On a buffet table with everybody else. This is not. You haven't accomplished anything. You
made. I have accomplished. What do you mean? Life would have been. Life would have been much easier.
You didn't improve the food. You didn't improve the food by taking that pastrami, which is the psyllus, and took out
the jelly beans.
Right. What?
Some guys like black.
Right. There's a reason they make them.
I don't see what the big deal about the jelly beans.
What do you mean? Yeah, but that's. Yeah, but that's. No, but that's the obvious example that everyone gives.
Psyllus is jelly beans. It's peanuts, and you have the shells and all these things. Those,
right.
Those are psyllus. Jelly beans still not psyllus. You just want the red one.
Right. So that's where we started off with.
That black ones you're going to throw in the garbage. I can understand.
This is what we began with. That Tosis quotes from Rabbeinu Hananel that whenever I have two foods and I want to eat one of them and I don't want the other, that to me is considered like ochalim solus. Even though there is somebody in the room who's going to eat the pastrami, there is someone in the room who's going to eat the turkey.
And even if I would be eating the pastrami later, I just want to eat the tongue first.
No, so that's because a different question. That's the other case we spoke about.
Okay.
Yeah, as we said, the Mishabur himself confessed that Borer is a very complicated sugya. I hope we made it a little bit clearer tonight. I hope so.
Yeah.
They would hold it tzatzer. Hanami. Yeah. That would be that. Would be. Okay. So here. Okay. So this pretty much sums up most of the klalim of Hilchos Borer. I hope it became a little bit clearer.
You have a closet full of clothes, of suits.
Yeah.
Pushing away the ones that you don't need and getting the right one while still on the hanger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered Borer?
We generally paskin there is Borer by Kalim. Tar Sameach disagrees. He thinks there's no Borer by Kalim, but it's a Shvero Sameach. Most assume like the Rav Achronim, there is Borer on a thing. That's a question. When I have Svarim on a shelf,
right?
Am I allowed to move around a bunch of Svarim and take out the one I want or not?
Question.
So many of them say, many Achronim, what? So many Achronim say that that's not called a Taruvus. How can you call this a Taruvus?
I have these red Svarim and I have these brown ones and I have these black ones. That's not a Taruvus. There's no mixture. It's so obvious before I do anything what I'm looking for.
Well, let's say it's in a big pile.
Oh, so then I heard him say, maybe you should be machmir when I have a big pile on my table. I was a big mess on Friday night when I was learning, and I leave a big pile on the table, so now I can't really tell. So some Achronim say, maybe you should be machmir then, that would be considered a malacha bor. What?
Because why there's a difference in the forks.
What do you mean? Because now they're in
a whole pile of forks, you want to take out a smoke,
Right.
The same thing.
Why is it the
why
same thing?
Why is it different this far? Of having a pile of sparum,
right,
or a pile of forks.
So you think it should be usser?
Same usser.
Oh, so the answer to that is because it's so noticeable. When I have two forks, it's very hard to differentiate, to distinguish between the
and
big ones and the little ones. You're right.
So then it's very easy to distinguish them between the two.
There's no taruvus.
And the sparum is, yes, taruvus.
So some Achronim want to say when the sparum are on the shelf, there's no taruvus because it's so obvious that this is the red one and that's the black one. But when it's all in a pile, so some want to say that it's not so noticeable because they're all mixed up together. I don't know. Personally, I think they're still very noticeable. You can see that one's still red and one's black. I don't know.
You have 10 black suits, though, when you're trying to get that.
Right.
Suit.
So when you,
not very noticeable.
Right.
The darkest one.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously a lot more details in Hilchos Borer that everyone can learn on their own. But I just wanted to make it a little bit clearer. And hopefully we accomplish that. So now just a fascinating vart that I saw in two different svarim. So that's why it looks like two different fonts here. I copied it from Motzer HaChachma that I found. One is in the Daf al Daf, which is Rav Mandelbaum from Eretz Yisrael, Sefer HaMaseches Gittin Mem Dalet. That's what the bottom part is from. The top, I can't remember where I saw it. So this is the vart. L'kulam nasan le'ish chalifos smalos u'l'binyamin nasan chamesh chalifos. So the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezayin asks, Eich Shini Yosef es Binyamin Letova, how was Yosef not concerned to go and give his brother Binyamin? What did he give him?
Five
shirts. How is he allowed to give him five shirts? doesn't Yosef know that the reason why he got into trouble in the first place was because Yaakov Avinu gave him extra? So why wasn't he concerned? So what does the Gemara answer? Mitaretz Gemara Amar Reb Binyamin Bar Yepes Remez Ramaz Lo Sha'asid Ben Latzis Mimenu Shiyetzi Milifnei HaMelech B'chamisha Levush Malchus Shenemar Marcha Yotza B'Levush Malchus Tcheles V'chur. Okay, the reason why he gave him five garments is because he was giving him some sort of remez that down the line one of his descendants would be Mordechai and he was going to have the big nes. Nu? So who cares? How does the Gemara answer the kasha? Are the brothers going to be jealous of Binyamin or not? Of course they're going to be jealous. What do I care that you're making a remez for him that hundreds of generations later you're going to have Mordechai come out of you? It's still going to be a problem with the brothers. Uh-huh. Okay, could be. So here, the Gra writes as follows. The Gra writes, if you look in the next paragraph, Ubir HaGra, Shanasan Lakulam Khalifa Shahayo Shavim Schum Mesuyam. He gave each one of them a fancy jacket, and he gave Binyamin a jacket that was worth five jackets that altogether were worth one jacket of the other brothers. So there was no jealousy. Okay, you give me five junkie suits, and each one of them got a fancy suit. Okay. What? Oh, so why'd he do it? So the Gra says, because that's what the Gemara says, to show him a remez to Mordechai. Okay, and then the Gra has a remez here, and he says, that's why over here in the Pasuk it says, Shebechalifos shenasan yosef lachem ksiv chalifos malei. By all the brothers it says chalifos with a vav. But over here, by Yosef it says chalifas. Why? Because he gave him junky quality. He gave him five junky suits, and that was supposed to add up to one fancy suit that each of the brothers got. Okay. But now the question is, look at the next paragraph. Vikasha, in the next print, in the Daf al Daf, Vikasha. Madua lo hikshasa agamar mimasha nasan lebinyamin levado shalosh meis kesef. Why isn't the Gemara bothered by the fact that he gave all the brothers a certain amount of money, but to Binyamin he gives him 300 bars of silver? Shouldn't that be a problem? Why does the Gemara only pick up on the fact that he gave him five jackets and he gave them one jacket? What about the fact that he gave him so much more money than the rest of the brothers got? So says the Chassam Sofer beautifully. Chassam Sofer mitaritz al pi divrei hagemara shelefaneinu. The Gemara says in Gittin Mem Dalet, Hamocher Abdul Oved Kochavim, someone who sells his Eved to a non-Jew, konsen also ad asara bedamav. We knas that individual up to 10 times the value of an Eved. Now what is the value of an Eved? 30. As we know, if a person hits his Eved, he's chayv to pay him shlosh mishal Eved. So he says, what's 30 times 10? 300. So he says, all the other brothers didn't deserve a penny. Why? Because they were all chayiv to pay Yosef back for selling him down to Mitzrayim, for selling him down to the Yishmaelim. They were all chayiv to pay him 300 bars of silver because they did a terrible thing. But Binyamin, who wasn't involved in the whole mechira in the first place, Binyamin is the only one who deserves a gift from his brother Yosef. Binyamin deserves 300 bars of silver because all of his brothers really owed it to Yosef. So this was their payback. But Binyamin, who wasn't involved in the Mechira at all, deserves his 300 bars of silver, and therefore the Gemara is not bothered by this question at all, because Binyamin is the only one who was not chayiv to pay it out. I thought this was a beautiful chap by the Chassam Sofer, building on the Chiddush of the Gra. Everyone should have a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbos.